test of the recording system, September 14th.
Oh, Nancy.
Oh, whatever, Judge.
Okay, it's 233.
It's the number on the bottom, Judge. I don't know how to get it. There's three at the phone.
Well, it's just strangely written.
That's what I...
You have reached a number that has been disconnected or is no longer in service. If you feel you have reached this recording error, please check the number and try your call again.
It's 480, not 408.
Yes, that's true.
So I'm going to cross off.
That one is completely wrong.
Is this Scott Hanna?
Yes, it is.
Mr. Hanna, this is George Stensko, Moore Valley Magistrate. This is the time set for your initial appearance and arraignment. Well, actually, just your arraignment. You already went to your initial appearance. You were arrested on July the 10th. You were charged with obstructing a government operation, Class 1 misdemeanor, and you were also charged with aversion of assault for intentionally placing a person in fear of imminent injury, and apparently the police believe that person meets a specific relationship test, so there's the domestic violence allegation that goes along with it. Both are Class 1 misdemeanors with a possible maximum penalty of 6 months in jail, 3 years on probation, $4,494 in fines and surcharges. On the assault charge, there's a minimum mandatory penalty that you must be placed, on probation, but you have to complete 26 sessions of domestic violence counseling. Do you understand all that?
Yes, sir.
You have the right to enter a plea of not guilty, the right to have a trial, the right to have an attorney. Doesn't necessarily mean court-appointed counsel, means the right to be represented by counsel. You have the right to remain silent and the right to be present at all future court proceedings. If the case ultimately goes to trial and you're found guilty and you fail to appear for sentencing for more than 90 days, you lose your right to a direct appeal. Do you understand all of that?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Simon, is there a notice to the victim?
Let me take a look. There may not have been notice because of, I think both people were cited. Let me take a look, though. Yeah, notice was not sent. Both parties were charged.
It would be helpful if that information were available when we have these DV cases on the docket.
Mr. I agree.
Mr. Hanna, I understand you want to enter a plea of not guilty and we're going to set it for a pretrial conference.
That's correct.
And the state has extended to you a plea offer, and that you want to take that and consider it, then we're going to be giving you pamphlets from the Pima County Bar Association on possible ways of getting legal representation. Okay?
Okay.
And I understand you're waiting outside to come in and sign the paperwork?
Yes, sir.
All right. Your next court date is October 13th at 9 o'clock. Again, if you fail to appear, we could issue a warrant and you could be charged with the offense of failing to appear. Why don't you come on into the third window in the lobby and meet the court security officer there. He'll have you sign the paperwork, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Do you have any questions?
Just one question. If I decide to go ahead and accept the plea, do I need to do that at the time of court, or can I do that before?
Well, just let us know when you come back into court.
Okay.
Is this Melissa Garza?
Yes, it is.
Ms. Garza, Georgetown School Moore Valley Magistrate. We have Mr. Simon on the other line. So this is the time set for your... Let me look. Initial appearance and arraignment, because you have not appeared yet. You were cited July the 3rd. You were charged with shoplifting. It's considered a class 1 misdemeanor with a possible maximum penalty of 6 months in jail, 3 years on probation, $4,494 in fines and surcharges, no minimum mandatory penalty. Do you understand that?
Yes.
You have the right to enter plea of not guilty, the right to have a trial by jury, the right to have an attorney represent you. Doesn't necessarily mean court-appointed counsel. It means the right to be represented by counsel. You have the right to remain silent and the right to be present at all future court proceedings. If you took your case to trial and failed to appeal for sentencing for more than 90 days, you'd lose your right to a direct appeal. So do you understand all that? I understand the state has extended to you a plea diversion agreement that you would like time to consider. Is that correct?
Yes.
So we're going to enter a plea of not guilty in your case and set it for pretrial October the 14th at 9 o'clock. You must be present or we proceed in your absence.
Okay.
We'll issue a warrant and you could be charged with failing to appear. So we'll, if you'll want to come into the lobby, we'll give you, have you sign the minute entry, give you a copy of your new court date. The pink copy of the plea diversion agreement will be provided, and we'll give you pamphlets from the Pima County Bar Association, okay?
Okay.
All right, you have any questions?
So do I go sign when I get out of quarantine?
Oh, you're at home.
Yes.
Okay, I'll tell you what we'll do. We're just going to...
I'll email it to
We're going to email it to you, and we'll mail you the pamphlets by snail mail, okay?
Okay.
All right, the court date...
What address do you have on file?
That's
because I recently moved.
Oh. The address on the citation is 238 West Roger, number 3.
No, I moved from that on the 1st.
Okay, I tell you what I'm going to do is I'm going to hand the file to the clerk and...
The new address was attached with my email that I sent regarding I needed to do telephonically because I've been quarantined.
I remember seeing your email.
Okay. Well, let's see. You're on Sand Springs Road now, Ms. Garza?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I've got it.
Okay, we've got it.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Bye bye. So we're here. Yeah, we are calling Mr. Hines.
Yeah, he's out of state.
Oh.
He just wants to continue it.
Is this Mr. Hines?
Yeah.
This is George Dunscombe, Moore Valley Magistrate. This was time set for your pretrial, and I understand that you haven't quite completed the diversion course.
No, I'm almost done with it.
Are you getting anything out of it?
Yes. Yeah, a lot of, there's definitely a lot of good stuff in there to help you. Because I can't relate too much to it because I've never been a drug addict, but it's definitely helpful.
It's minor imperfection.
Which
He signed up for the minor in possession.
And it covers a lot about drug use?
Can you say that again?
You're saying it covers, yeah, so you're signed up for the right course.
Yeah.
Well, okay. It applies to alcohol too. All right, so we're going to give you until October the 4th. All right, you can go. See you in October.
Bye.
Hear from you.
Thank you. I'll see you. Bye.
Bye. Who's next?
Well,
I've got a plea on this Hagman.
So the advocate family, do you want to address? There's a people service in the file, Judge.
Mr. Simon?
Yes, Your Honor.
We have a long form complaint on a Vincent Lupo. Does the state have any proof of service of the long form?
Let's see here.
Because the victim advocate is sitting here waiting.
I understand, yes. Let me double check to see if I have something. I do have something. Something else. We have to get that, Your Honor. I'll put a note in the file.
Okay, so what you're telling me is that you don't have proof of service either.
I have proof of notice to the victim. I don't have proof of service on the defendant.
Okay, so we'll anticipate either request for a warrant or something on that lines, or maybe actually the proof, but you did send, state sent notice to the victim.
Yes, and we spoke to the victim also.
And the victim's advocate is present. Have you spoken with her, ma'am?
I haven't spoken with her since last week, but we may have gotten our wires crossed. I came here to meet with her today just for support.
Oh, all right. Who is the victim?
Janice Carapas Lupo, the defendant's spouse. Our soon to be former spouse.
Has a Janice Lupo checked in out front that we know of?
No. They would have been in.
Don't know what to tell you.
It's okay.
All right, tell you.
I'm where I was supposed to be.
Do you need a copy of our calendar showing you a calendar today, or are you good?
No, it's perfectly fine.
Okay.
And your name is Dana?
Dana Papa?
How do you spell your last name?
It's K A T as in Tom, B as in boy, A.
Kutza. We'll send you a copy of the warrant when we issue it. Not that that's much good. And then if he's brought in, we'll try and remember to send you the paperwork about that. But that state should be calling you anyway.
Okay.
We always tell them. Okay, if you want to give Ms. Kutza a copy. Leave it in tree, that would be okay.
Thank you, Judge.
Thank you, Ms. Kutza. Dan, you didn't have a lady named Ms. Lupo show up up front?
No, sir.
Okay. If she shows up, we have your phone number, right?
No, but I can write down all her contact information.
I've already got a post-it note with her name on it, Judge.
Do you have her contact information?
So, what's your number, Dana?
It's 520-623-9465, and it's extension 4164.
It was 9465?
Yes.
And what was the extension?
4164.
4164. Got it.
Okay.
Thank you.
And do you want a copy of the minute entry?
Yes, please.
and then say we're moving Hagman?
I still have one that's entering a therapy, that's they're still on our paperwork.
Well, that's okay, we'll just...
I don't know if you want to do Mr. Lewis, there's probably gonna be continuing for God.
I just made contact with her, she's waiting, she had to pay someone to give her a ride, she's by Casino del Sol.
Oh, good God.
She's waiting on her ride to show up. She's the one I told you, she's trying to get this taken care of, because she's dealing with child issues, child...
Can we talk to her on the phone?
Well, we could, if you would be willing to cross the warrant over the phone and...
Well, this...
Yeah.
It's been out going on, it'll be a year next month.
Maybe we can get her in here and get a police on.
Does Mr. Simon have the file?
I'm sure he does, because we sent a letter over to him, or an email over to him, telling him that we were going to have her in today.
Do you have Ms. Pickles' file?
I'm sorry, what was the name?
Rose Pickles.
Rose Pickles, I believe I do. Yes, I do, Judge.
Where was the trespass?
Let me look. And let's see. This case is kind of strange, so let me try to figure that out.
It's also kind of old.
Yeah, the address I have is 11911 North Oracle Road, which at the time was Anytime Fitness.
Look at me another
time. Looks like it was a business.
Well, the incident location on the citation is 11921 North 1st Avenue.
Yeah, I noticed that. It kind of threw me a loop, too. Yeah.
Well, I guess if there's some non-trial disposition that can be proposed to Ms. Pickles to resolve this,
my thought process was a fail to appear, credit for time served, probation, no contact with this one person, which was the basis for the trespass thing. And obviously you can...
We have to amend it, because we don't have an FDA charge.
Well, yeah, and I'll amend it to fail to appear.
Okay, so I think what we're going to do is we're going to deal with Mr. Lewis, we'll deal with Ms. Hagman. Have Dan call Ms. Pickles back and tell her that we will try and establish telephone contact with her. You know, to don't come up here. We'll try and establish telephone contact with her. She can talk to Mr. Simon about a possible plea and go from there.
Okay.
That's what we need to tell Ms. Pickles.
Okay, so it's going to be a defense motion to continue?
Well, no, she's got a warrant out. So what I will probably do is I want to get her on the phone, I want to talk to her, we'll quash the warrant, she can talk to Troy, we'll work something out. We'll be sending her paperwork, she can resolve it that way. Okay?
Oh, okay, through the mail.
Yeah. What are we doing with Isidro Hernandez?
Sir, now I didn't hear from Mr. Fidel, sir, but both victims have called this morning wanting to be contacted, you know, about the case, so I guess it's going to be on the phone since I haven't heard from him.
Have you had any any contact with Mr. Fidel about the Hernandez case?
We had a brief telephone conversation a few days ago.
Is there a possible light at the end of this tunnel?
Yes and no. Currently, no. In the future, maybe.
Well, we'll deal with that last. We'll deal with Mr. Lewis first. Okay, Dan?
Joy, don't drive up. And hang close to the phone. We're going to call her. We're going to talk to her.
Mm-hmm. Lewis.
Mr. Lewis, George Dunscombe. We have Mr. Simon on the other line. We got a couple of your cases. We got Roller Creek and... That's it, Roller and Creek. So what's happening on Roller?
Okay, I'm going to be waiving both of their presence. On Miss Roller, she's had some medical issues. She had surgery, and now she thinks that she's concerned she may have COVID, so she's staying inside and self-isolating, self-quarantining. She still wants to pay back the search, and so does Mr. Koenig. I've texted with both of them this morning and Friday and everything. So they want more time, requesting more time to pay back the church, and they will, of course, waive time. Mr. Koenig, we'll finish Mr. Roller before we get to Mr. Koenig, I guess. So that's it on hers. I'm thinking maybe since we're going to waive time, if the state doesn't object, maybe November to give them more time to get the money together.
Well, how much money are we talking about total between the two?
I believe it's a couple thousands. Let me have to check my file for the exact amount.
Yeah.
Do you have it off the top of your head, George?
Yeah, you're right. It's a couple thousand, Your Honor. So between the two of them, approximately $1,000 each. Their financial wherewithal is not the best, so I understand where Mr. Lewis is coming from.
And Mr. Craig has been able to get some work, so he's got some of the money up, he said, but then when Ms. Roller got sick, he had to stay home to take care of her. She had surgery, and so it kind of slowed him down a bit, but he has said he made some progress, and he definitely wants to still pay back the church. That's still the plan. Maybe around the 9th or 10th of November.
That depends. One of these days, Mr. Lewis, I may just run screaming from the building and never come back.
Well, yeah, it's a difficult situation, and obviously the COVID hasn't made it. I think if there wasn't a COVID emergency, maybe it would be... Maybe it would be a reason to say, hey, set it for trial, or I'll pay you, you know, an X number of days. But unfortunately, like Mr. Simon said, they do are not financially well off. And then they've been slowed by the COVID, like another gut punch. So, you know, unfortunately, that's the situation we're in. Unless, of course, as I've mentioned, Mr. Simon a few times, that the church wanted to go ahead and just dismiss the case. But Mr. Simon stated that they're not in a position to do that. But certainly we'd be, think that'd be a great thing if they did.
November 10th is better than the 9th, Judge.
So I guess the question is, what would Jesus do? Certainly not what that church is doing, but...
November 10th at 10?
November 10th at 10?
That works for me, Your Honor.
We'll do the same thing on the other case. Was there any objection, Mr. Simon?
No, Your Honor. Thank you, Judge.
I believe that's all I have today.
Mr. Lewis, I would think that a down payment by Mr. Creed as a show of good faith would be helpful. I mean, he says he's got the money, and the bottom line is, if he doesn't move it in the right direction, he's going to spend it.
I certainly would agree with that. I don't know if that's agreeable to Mr. Simon, if he wants this on an installment plan, or whether he wants it all at once or nothing.
If he pays it to the court, we can put it in a hold file or a bond file or something showed as a bond posted. We got to show it as something, and then when the time comes, it can be moved on forward, but at least it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, be like, we don't want to lose traction and slide back down the hill.
We can post it as an
unfair. Well, So, Mr. Simon, if, let's just say, for example, he had $500, and would you accept if he mailed you a money order of $500 to put, you know, to give to the church or put it in on hold somewhere to him to pay as much as he can periodically?
Yeah, that would be helpful. Like the judge, I agree with the judge. Otherwise, there's a risk that he may spend it, and then it's going to take longer.
Yeah, I'll definitely present that to him and see if we can get moving on that.
So we'll do November 10th on this one, too.
Very well.
Are we off on the 11th?
Yes.
Or us to stay. From the Great War.
Yep.
Nothing great about it. And the next one was worse. Thank you,
yeah,
Mr. Lewis.
Not too many wars are good.
No. I'm reading it, and I'm just finished the World War II section of the Churchill biography by William Manchester. There were no honorable people on any side in that.
No, it gets pretty ugly.
It got worse than ugly, but all right. Thank you, Mr. Lewis.
Very well, y'all. Take care. Have a good day.
Bye-bye. Mr. Simon, we're moving on with Ms. Hagman, I guess.
Hagman, okay.
Judge, I'm going to check real quick to see if Mr. Lopez has done a good
special work. Oh, okay, yeah. Mr. Lopez is doing a plea, too. We might as well kill two stones with one bird.
Two birds with one stone.
Who cares?
Concern is that they have depositions and detailed depositions that they need to take, and we do not want to create evidence and additional statements on our side of things that are then going to complicate the issues in a civil proceeding.
Mr. Simon, does the state have a position?
Your Honor, I spoke with, I'm sorry, I'm trying to blank, Mr. John Brock. I spoke with him this morning, and we discussed the same matter. I have no objection at this point.
Mr. Fidel, realistically speaking, what difference is 60 days going to make?
Well, and it might not. I mean, we may be coming back in 60 days and doing the same thing. The reason that we are sitting back is that it is our belief that if the civil case settles, that may also result in resolution of our side of the case. And so that's why we do not want to trample on anything, any evidence in the civil case that's going to negatively impact whatever that process is. So 60 days gives an additional amount of time, and I think a productive amount of time for them to continue with their discovery process. And if it's going to resolve, it'll be closer to it. But I just suspect that if I was to say 30 days, I suspect we'd be coming back. There would be a higher chance that we come back in 30 days and are doing the same thing, whereas 60 days gives a little more time for them to do what the discovery process in the civil case.
Give us a date in December, Nancy. Please. Present it.
Bless you. Monday,
how about my wife's birthday in Pearl Harbor Day, December 7th?
That's fine with us, Ron.
10 o'clock, Nancy?
Let's do 10:30.
Let's do 10:30.
Okay.
All right, gentlemen, everyone's excused. Well, no, Mr. Simon isn't. Is Mr. Lopez ready?
Yeah.
Thank you, Your Honor. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
This is 408 or 42?
42.
Okay. You know, I'll trust you on this one.
Our call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system. 408-603-4750 is not available.
Yeah.
At the tone, please record your message. When you finish recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Ms. Hagman, this is George Dunscombe, Miller Valley Magistrate. I'm calling you so we can complete your change of plea, and you're not picking up. So please call us back as soon as possible. Thank you.
He just said Ms. Hagman.
Yeah, but that was Ms. Hagman who I was trying to talk to. Now we're going to try Mr. Lopez. I don't think I've ever known anyone named Shannon Lopez.
They have Miss Hagman on hold, Your Honor.
Yeah, we did talk to Hannah. I'm sorry, Dan, what did you say?
Hello?
Is this Mr. Lopez?
It is.
Okay, well, Mr. Lopez, this is George Dunscombe, Moore Valley Magistrate. We're going to try and get another defendant on the line so we can do a change of plea proceeding in both cases at once. So please hold, okay?
Sure, I can do that.
Try again. 408-603-4750. The no was she has to be to work at 11, so I don't know what to tell her.
Hello?
Is this Ms. Hagman? Is this Isabella? I'm sorry, what?
Who are you trying to reach? Sorry, you might have the wrong number.
I'm trying to reach an Isabella Hagman.
No, this is not she. This is not her.
Have I reached 408-603-4750?
No, you typed 4570.
All right, thank you. What do you know, Dan?
Hey, Ms. Hagman on the line. If you want to transfer, you want her to hang up.
No, just, yeah, have her transfer.
Yes, this is she.
Okay, Ms. Hagman, Mr. Lopez, you are both entering into plea agreements with the state to resolve the charges pending against you at this time. What you have in common, at least to some extent, are the constitutional trial rights that you're giving up by entering into these plea agreements. You both have the right to have to enter a plea of not guilty. You both have the right to have a trial. Ms. Hagman, yours would be a trial to the court or by a judge. Mr. Lopez, yours would be to a jury. It means we would have called in about 30 residents from the town. The judge and lawyers would have asked them questions to see if they could be fair and impartial jurors. After selection process, we'd have ended up with 6 folks who would have listened to all the evidence and the jury instructions. They alone would have decided whether or not you were guilty. Do you understand that?
Yes, Your Honor, I understand.
You both would have had the right to have an attorney represent you. It doesn't necessarily mean court-appointed counsel. It means the right to be represented by counsel. The decision to appoint counsel is based on your financial status and the possible maximum penalties that you would be facing if convicted of the offense. I have forms that appear to be signed by both of you called Notice of Right to Counsel and Waiver Forms. Ms. Hagman, did you read that form before you signed it?
Yes, I did, Your Honor.
Did you understand what it said?
Yes, I did.
Mr. Lopez, did you read that form before you signed it?
Yes, Your Honor.
Did you understand it?
Yes, sir.
So both of you understand you have the right to have an attorney represent you even this morning. The benefits an attorney may have provided for you, and that you're giving up or waiving your right to have an attorney represent you by proceeding without one at this time.
Yes.
Yes, Your Honor. Yes, Your Honor, I understand.
At your trials, you both would have had the right to be presumed innocent and to remain silent, and the state, that means the prosecutor, would have had to prove you were guilty beyond a reasonable doubt with evidence he alone produced. He could not have called either of you to testify against yourselves, and neither one could have been compelled to present any evidence that proved you were guilty. You both would have had the right to confront and cross-examine the state's witnesses. That means ask them questions, see if they're telling the truth. And you would have had the right to present your own evidence and your own witnesses. And if your witnesses could not or would not appear voluntarily, the right to compel them to attend the trial using subpoenas issued by the court at no cost to yourselves. By entering into any plea agreement with the state, you give up or waive your right to any direct appeal. Means if you don't like the sentence that may ultimately be imposed under the terms of your plea agreements, you can't just appeal it to Superior Court. Your only recourse is under Rule 32 of the Rules of Criminal Procedure, and there are time limits on the filing of those petitions. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Yes.
Ms. Hagman, you're pleading to pulling your contest to one count of unlawful possession of narcotics paraphernalia. Under the terms of your agreement, you have to pay a $25 court diversion fee. You'd be on 12 months of unsupervised probation. We're violating your local, state, or federal law. Not drive without valid license, registration, and insurance? What's that about, Mr. Simon?
The reason for the traffic stop was, I think, a registration problem. So that's why that was added. So the officer did not cite her for that, though.
Ms. Hagman, you'd be required to complete a one-time 8-hour substance use counseling class through an organization called Bridges. It costs you $55. You must register for and pay for the class in advance. It's only offered one time each month, always offered on a Saturday. So, Ms. Hagman, you still with me?
Yes, I am.
Okay, did you understand all of that?
Yes, I did.
Okay, and have you gotten a copy of the paperwork from Bridges that tells you where to go about that and how to go about that?
Yes, I have the dates and the place to call right next to me.
Okay, so if you've successfully complete the 8-hour class and you're neither cited for or arrested for a criminal offense for the next 12 months, at the end of the 12 months, the state's agreed that the charge be dismissed. However, if you fail to complete the course, or you are cited for, arrested for another criminal violation, excluding civil traffic matters, in the next 12 months, the state can move to revoke the diversion, and you could be found guilty of the offense. The minimum mandatory penalty for which you must be placed on probation in order to participate in, quote, appropriate substance use counseling. Do you understand all that?
Yes, I do.
Did anyone promise either one of you anything that's not contained in your written plea agreements to get you to change your pleas?
No.
No, Your Honor. Everything's correct.
Okay. Did they force you or threaten you in any way to get you to change your plea?
No.
No.
Are you both doing this voluntarily and of your own free will?
Yes.
Yes, Your Honor.
Factual basis, Mr. Simon.
For Ms. Hagman, on August 24th, year 2020, at approximately 2:48 in the morning, she was traveling northbound on Oracle Road approaching First Avenue. It was in the town limits of Oro Valley. Officer Brandstrom ran the license plate on a white Mercedes that she was driving. It showed that it was expired as of April of 2020. The officer initiated a traffic stop. During the traffic stop, the officer smelled a strong odor of deodorizer. He put in his report that he's trained to, according to his training, he became suspicious that there may have been some type of masking agent for marijuana. So he asked the defendant whether or not she had any marijuana in the car. At that time, she indicated that she had a small amount of marijuana in the center console. Then when asked whether or not she or the passenger, there was another occupant, whether or not either one of them had a medical marijuana card, that they both indicated they did not. And then a small amount of marijuana was discovered inside the center console.
That sound about right, Ms. Hagman?
Yep, that's correct.
I find there's a factual basis to find you've entered the agreement knowingly, voluntarily, and intelligently. It's not the result of force, threats, or promises other than those contained in the plea. I'll accept the plea diversion agreement and proceed according to the terms of the plea. Going to defer entry of judgment, placement 12 months unsupervised probation in order to complete the 8-hour class at Bridges, with proof of completing that class back to the court by December the 11th. That may seem like a long ways off, but it will come more quickly than you think. Or you pay a one-time $25 court diversion fee and violate no laws. Are you able to pay the $25 diversion fee today?
Correct.
Okay. Do you have any questions?
I don't for you. Do you have any for me?
Oh, I forgot to read something to both of you. Well, Ms. Hagman, is this your signature on the waiver of immigration admonition?
Yes, it is.
Did you read it before you signed it?
Yes, I did.
Thank you. You've already signed the paperwork. If you want to come on into the lobby, Dan will meet you there, and he will give you copies of all that paperwork and get you on your way, okay? And then you can make the $20 payment.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Did
I say 20?
You did that.
No, it's 25.
I was wondering if I wrote the wrong thing on there.
No, no.
I'm saying it's 20.
So then I guess you have to make a copy of the main entry and give her stuff. Thank you. Phone number. There we go. Mr. Lopez, back to you. Your plea agreement indicates 100 suspended, so you'll have to pay $200 there and a $25 court security fee. So you're looking at roughly $700. Do you understand that?
Yes, Your Honor.
Is that your understanding of this plea agreement?
Yes, Your Honor, I understand.
And that's your signature that appears on the second page of the plea agreement?
Yes, Your Honor.
And you believe you understand the terms and consequences of this plea?
Yes, Your Honor, I do.
Okay, and you understand it's unlawful to take property belonging to another person with the intention of keeping it or depriving its rightful owner of its use?
Yes, Your Honor, I understand that.
Punishable as a class 1 misdemeanor, possible maximum penalty 6 months in jail, 3 years on probation, $4,494 in fines and surcharges, no minimum mandatory penalty. Do you understand that?
Yes, Your Honor, I understand.
Are you on parole, probation of any other court?
No, Your Honor.
Is this your signature on the waiver of immigration admonition?
Yes, Your Honor.
Did you read it before you signed it?
Yes.
Did you understand the jury trial rights I advised you of?
Yes, Your Honor.
You understand you have those same trial rights and that you waiver give up those trial rights by entering into this plea agreement?
Yes, Your Honor.
And you understand you're giving up your right to any direct appeal?
Yes, Your Honor.
Did anyone promise you anything not contained in the written plea to get you to change your plea?
No, Your Honor.
Did they force you or threaten in any way?
No.
Doing it voluntarily of your own free will?
Yes, Your Honor.
Factual basis, Mr. Simon?
Your Honor, regarding the factual basis, the state would ask the court to amend the date of the offense. This was an ongoing transaction here. So here's the factual basis. On April 4th, 2020, through on about May 31st, 2020. The defendant had been an employee at the O'Reilly Auto Parts located at 7871 North Oracle Road, within the town of Sabora Valley. During those dates, that time frame, the defendant on a number of occasions would essentially, he would create fictitious customer names, and then through the cashier or checkout system, he would fabricate false returns. And then over that time period, he engaged in a number of fraudulent returns where he would pretend that customers came in and were returning merchandise that they had purchased, which was not the case, and instead he would just pocket the money. There were 11 transactions. They totaled up to $473.50.
Does that sound accurate, Mr. Lopez?
Yes, Your Honor, that's correct.
What were those dates, Mr. Simon?
Yeah, they're itemized here. The first date was April 4th, 2020. Then the second date was April 22nd. And then May 2nd, May 3rd, May 5th, another one on May 5th, May 18th, May 19th, May 24th, May 30th, May 31st was the last transaction, and the police responded during their investigation on June 22nd after they had all the information.
So keep up with the meeting thing, but in 2 minutes, Judge will call you, and then we'll just further with it, okay? Don't worry about it. You're welcome. Okay? Stay put. All right, bye-bye. She knows that we're going to call her.
I remember that.
It's the 235-4783.
Mr. Lopez, I'm going to find there is a factual basis. I find you've entered into this agreement knowingly, voluntarily, and intelligently. It's how the result of force, threats, or promises of the notes contained in the plea. I'll accept your plea and proceed according to the terms of the plea agreement. Mr. Telephone. Based on the factual basis, Mr. Lopez, I'm going to find you guilty of the theft charge, placing you in 12 months on supervised probation in order to violate a local, state, or federal law. Sent you to 180 days in jail, ordering you not to return to the O'Reilly Auto Park at 7871 North Oracle. Show the court record is amended to show the correct spelling of your first name. Show that the plea and the complaint or amended to show the dates of the offense beginning April 4th, 2020, ending on May 31st, 2020. Where do you pay $500 in fines and surcharges, suspend $300, $20 time payment fee, $25 court security fee. Where do you pay restitution of $473.50 for a total of $718.50. Mr. Lopez, how much of that do you think you can afford to pay a month?
Your Honor, I can, I'm currently gainfully employed. I can pay, I can do $100 a month.
When you want to make your first payment?
I'm sorry, sir, you broke up.
Okay, when would you like to make your first payment?
I can go ahead and make that today.
Okay, that works. Now, it's due on the 14th of every month thereafter. We'll put a little green sticker on here so that you can make the payments either over the phone or through a computer program. There's a fee that goes along with either one. Or you can just mail a check or a money order to the court so that it gets here on the 14th, okay?
Yes, Your Honor.
Do you understand you have the right at the end of the probationary period to set aside the conviction? To do so, you'll have to file a written form. You can either get the form from my clerks or you can go to the court website. There's a place where you can download forms. You download it, print it out, fill it out, and file it. If it's granted, it will show as a dismissal on the record. If it's denied, there will be a box shown explaining why it was denied. This can be... it will show as a dismissal on the record for things such as employment applications and those things, but the state can always still allege it as a prior conviction in the event that you were to end up with a similar charge in the future. Do you have any questions?
No, Your Honor. I do not.
All right. Why don't you come on in? My clerk's going to give you copies. He's going to make you a copy of the sentencing mid-entry. He'll bring you copies of all your paperwork, okay? Come on into the third window.
All right, thank you, Your Honor.
And Ms. Pickles is waiting on your call, sir.
So I need to let her speak with Troy first.
Huh? Yes.
I'm going to stop the record, not give her a call.
Mr. Riley?
Still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, 1355 West Roger Road.
Was that 13?
Apartment number.
Okay.
Excuse me?
You're breaking up. Is it 1355 or 65?
55.
West Roger.
West Roger, apartment number 4215.
857-05. All right. So 1355 West Roger Road, apartment 4215.
Yes.
We'll mail you a new minute entry. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. And we've got a phone number for Mr. Lindemann.
Mark.
I was trying to get a hold of a Dylan Lindemann.
One is my grandson. All right.
Okay. Well,
who am I talking to?
Well, this is George Dunscombe, the judge up in Oro Valley, and Jay was supposed to have been here at 9 o'clock for his initial appearance.
Oh, boy. I texted him last Friday when they sent me a notice. I called his mom and told him, make sure he's there. So, I'm sorry about that. Would you like me to see if I can get a hold of him?
Well, that would be nice, sir. Go ahead and just tell him that he's got to contact us, and if he, we haven't heard from him by, say, 5 o'clock today, we're probably going to be issuing a warrant for his arrest.
Got it. All right. I'll get a hold of him.
Thank you, sir. Right. You take care.
You bet. All right. You too. Bye.
Oh, I hung up on Mr. Simon. But we're done.
Yep,
we're done.
He doesn't answer.
Hello?
I hit the wrong button and I hit hang up instead of drop, but we're done. So, this afternoon, then. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you, Judge.
So,
what'd you say?
Go off the record, Nancy. If you could pull your file, we'll...
Roseland?
Roseland. Roy Roseland.
All right, I'll be right back.
I'll be here. It's one of my favorite lines from Mash, Kramer's Potter's office, pleading for one of his stupid schemes.
I love Mash.
Kramer says, I'll be back, and Potter says, I'll be here.
My gosh, I have good memories.
He had the rubber wraps and he inflated it in the office.
Not a problem, sir. I have this one. And many desserts and Hawkeye's the...
Hello?
Is this Roy Roseland?
Yes, it is. This is him.
Mr. Roseland, this is George Dunscan, Laurel Valley Magistrate. You currently, and we've got Mr. Simon as the town prosecutor on the other line, you currently have a warrant for your arrest because you failed to appear for court on your initial appearance date back in August, and we attempted to get a hold of you, and apparently without luck. So,
yeah, I was in Minnesota up until last Friday.
I see. Well,
and
that still doesn't.
I didn't know that I had a court date. The last thing the officer said to me is somebody call me. And
Mr. Roseland, it's on your citation, and we'll. We'll be glad to give you a photocopy of that if it would help. But if
citation. I just didn't see that. Man.
Okay. Mr. Roseland, you were cited for failure to stop at the scene of an accident with damage to an attended vehicle considered a Class 1 misdemeanor. Possible maximum penalty, 6 months in jail, 3 years on probation, $4,498 in fines and surcharges. You're also cited for a civil traffic violation or failure to reduce or control speed to avoid an accident, which, as I just said, is a civil traffic violation. On the criminal damage or the failure to leave the scene charge, you have the right to enter a plea of not guilty, the right to have a trial, the right to have an attorney. It doesn't necessarily mean court-appointed counsel, and it's doubtful that you would be appointed one. The right to remain silent and the right to be present at all court proceedings. Do you understand all that?
Yes.
Okay. Now, we've got Mr. Simon on the other line, and I would be glad to leave the courtroom and let you two discuss the pending charges. We also have the issue of the warrant out for your arrest, and there's a $65 warrant fee that was imposed. So when can you pay the $65?
I can pay that today.
Okay. And would you like an opportunity to talk to the prosecutor?
Yes, because I'm pleading not guilty.
Well, that wouldn't necessarily require much of a conversation with the prosecutor, but I'll be glad to let you do that. I'll note on the minute entry that you're appearing will cost your warrant. The $65 will be due today, which is September the 14th. And now I'm going to go ahead, Mr. Simon, say hello to Mr. Roseland.
Hello, Mr. Roseland. Judge, if we can reset it, we'll contact the victim.
All right.
Yes.
Very good, well. Uh-oh, Nancy, I just screwed this up.
Nancy, you want to?
Yeah.
For Roseland?
Yes. Wait a minute. You see, it's right here. I screwed up an old one. I'm so sorry. So he's appearing. We're going to quash the warrant. $65 is due. Nope. By 9:14:20, we're going to enter a plea of not guilty and not responsible on the civil traffic. We're going to set it for a pretrial conference. So, Mr. Roseland, I'm assuming that you are now, should we say, back for the winter?
Not quite. I have to go back for about 2 weeks in a month to pick up my wife and bring her down here.
So?
I'll be here for 3 or 4 more weeks.
Well,
and then I'll be up there for a week or two, and then I'll be coming back down here for the winter.
Will you be here the week of October 19th?
October 19th. The day is the 14th.
9 o'clock in the morning. So if you want to come into the lobby and go to the third window, my court security officer will... Yes, we'll meet you there and let you sign the minute entry, and then you can step to the next window and pay the warrant fee, okay?
Okay, and that was October 14th at 9 a.m.
Yes, sir, and we'll give you a copy of the minute entry with that date on it, all right?
Okay, and is the court back here where I'm at now, the magistrate court?
Yes.
Okay, just making sure.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay, I'll be back in.
No, come on in. Come on into the lobby. Yes. All right.
This is Elaine Calderon. She's taking a diversion plea today, but I don't have the plea.
I don't either.
So
I may be here prematurely.
Yep. Yeah.
Hang on, Dan.
This is Troy.
Mr. Simon, George Stunscombe. We've got Ms. Calderon here, but she doesn't have a plea agreement.
So you can reappoint me. I don't mind. Or you can leave me as counsel. I don't really mind. I don't know how to get a hold of her. Whatever you think. The number's disconnected to that you have on here.
Uh-oh.
You know, what we might do, is there any chance that she was arrested on felonies and is in jail?
I didn't look.
I can look it up right
now. We could even have Dan look to see if she got sent off to DOC.
It's a shoplifting charge, so it's possible.
Is it associated with the use of narcotics? Or
I mean, it's possession of a good weapon. She does have a suspended license.
Yeah, I'll let you look at DOC.
Nancy, what's in this? Oh, it's your financial statement.
Do you want the phone number we have?
What phone number do you have?
I have... the one that, she filled out. I'm sorry.
Yeah, 720-1135. Okay. Oh, 570. Yeah.
520. No, it's 520. 7383. That's the number on the citation. Let's see if I have a different one than the
But that's what she put on the order
appointing Ms. Peterson. Okay. And then I have P.O. Box 91245. This is what we have. Says attempted not return to sender, attempted not known, unable to forward on all of them. Did he get you the
73-1135?
Yes, ma'am. No, it's in.
No, I don't have an email.
Now, I do have a different address. I don't have a PO box.
What do you have?
I have 8166 North Plantation Place.
It's on the citation, too.
85741 is the zip code.
But when she signed the order, when Ms. Peterson was appointed, she put down the post office box 91245.
Yeah, that's the one we've been using.
What can her to try the plan?
I can try the other one, but... whatever you guys want me to do, I'm fine with.
Can you give it one more shot at that new address?
Yeah.
Not the new address, the old one. Do you have a copy of the citation?
Let me look. I should.
Yep.
Yeah, but I can't read it. So you said
8166 North Plantation Place.
85741?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'll try that.
On this plea diversions or miscalled on, they kept 10 hours of community restitution at Oro Valley, but Oro Valley contacted us and they're not doing any community restitution due to COVID.
So we can change that then, whatever.
I can check the box other?
Yeah.
Okay, that was.
Can you just tell me what the terms are?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah, why don't we just give her a copy so she can talk to her client about it?
Make a copy of both cases.
I know the gist of it, and we've talked about it, but I don't know the specifics.
I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I just
had already seen it.
It's one of your favorites.
I'm sure.
Do you want to set this for any date? So, Rita, I'm going to set this later out.
Thank you. Okay, so. All right. You're going to do 10 hours community service, and then you have to do an evaluate, a substance abuse evaluation, and just do whatever they recommend. They can recommend anywhere between 16 hours to 36 hours of substance abuse classes.
This is Troy.
This is the time set for the plea in the matter of State versus Lane Calderon. Are you Ms. Calderon?
Yes.
Under the terms of this plea diversion agreement, you're entering a plea of no contest to one count of disorderly conduct. Mr. Simon, is there notice to the victim?
Yeah, let me check the file. It was mailed in August.
Notice to your mom.
And it was mailed to a Three Palms Hotel.
Mr. Simon, no one lives at the Three Palms Hotel permanently.
I understand, but that was the business that she was at.
The business is the victim as well.
Well, there's a DV allegation. Who was the victim of the DV?
Well, originally the DV allegation was the mother, but she pretty much withdrew her victim status. She claimed in the initial arraignment that she was not a victim and gave a different version of what was purported on 911. So I haven't spoken to her, but I think she wanted the case dismissed, so we renewed the diversion plea.
Ms. Calderon, under the terms of the plea, you'll be on 12 months of unsupervised probation. You have to participate in 10 hours of community restitution, which means you have to do volunteer work for some agency who will accept your services. The agencies that I, as I understand it, that need the most help right now are food banks.
She's going to the Basketball Rescue Mission.
Okay, that'll work too. Also, you have to participate in a substance use evaluation. And I guess any counseling that's required by it. But I don't know how you're going to get that set up. Are you access eligible?
Yeah, I do have access currently.
Are you receiving treatment from any of the agencies such as Kodak, COPE, or La Frontera?
No, I'm staying in healthcare, but I was too old
to Manhattan Health Center could also provide that service.
Okay, I need to check that out.
Mm-hmm.
If you successfully can participate in the evaluation and I guess whatever treatment, I don't know, and complete the 10 hours of mandatory community restitution and pay the $25 court diversion fee at the end of the 12 months, the state's agreed the charge can be dismissed. If you fail to do so, you'd be found guilty of the disorderly conduct and could be sentenced to the possible maximum of 6 months in jail, 3 years on probation, $4,494 in fines and surcharges. The state's agreed to dismiss two other counts of disorderly conduct, which always surprises me, arising out of a single incident, but and a criminal damage charge. Do you understand that?
Yes.
You went over this plea with your attorney before you signed it?
Yes.
You believe you understand the terms and consequences of the agreement?
Yes.
You understand Well, first of all, is this your signature in the waiver of immigration admonition?
Yes, thank you.
Did you read it before you signed it?
Yes.
Do you understand it's unlawful in the state of Arizona to disturb the peace of any person or neighborhood with the knowledge of or intention of doing so?
Yes, sir.
We've already talked about the maximum penalty. There is no minimum. Are you on parole or probation of any other court?
No, sir.
You know you're not compelled to accept this plea.
Yes, sir.
You have every right to continue with your plea of not guilty instead of for trial, be trial to the court or to a judge. I'm going to try to debate a number of other Daniels.
Yep. Okay.
All right. Where was he? The state could not have called you to testify against yourself, and you could not have been compelled to present any evidence proving you were guilty. At your trial, you'd have had the right to confront and cross-examine the state's witnesses. That means Ms. Mandel would have asked them questions, excuse me, to see if they were telling the truth. You'd have had the right to present your own evidence and your own witnesses. And if you had witnesses who could not or would not appear voluntarily, the right to compel them to attend the trial using subpoenas issued by the court at no cost to yourself. Do you understand those court trial rights?
Yes.
Do you understand you waive or give them up by entering the plea?
Yes, sir.
You also understand you're giving up your right to any direct appeal. The only recourse beyond today's proceedings is a petition for post-conviction relief under Rule 32 of the Rules of Criminal Procedure.
Yes, sir.
Anyone promise you anything not contained in the written plea to get you to change your plea?
Yes, sir.
Did they force you or threaten you in any way to get you to change your plea?
Yes, sir.
Are you doing it voluntarily and of your own free will?
I'm doing it.
Are you doing it voluntarily and of your own free will?
Yes, sir.
Factual basis, Mr. Simon.
Mr. Simon, excuse me, sorry. Can you hear me?
No, I can hear you too well.
I'm sorry.
Ms. Peterson wanted to say something.
May I give the factual basis?
Counsel would like to provide a factual basis, Mr. Simon.
No problem, Judge.
Go ahead, ma'am.
All right. So on December 27th, 2019, police were called to the hotel, 7411 North Oracle Road. It was in reference to a mental health episode that Ms. Calderon was going through. When law enforcement got there, they found that she had broken a window by some means, and she was very upset. She wouldn't calm down. They took her to the hospital where she did kick somebody. She has PTSD and some mental health issues, and so she does admit that she disturbed at least one person's peace. Her mother was present, and she inadvertently kicked her mother. So she was cited with, I think, 3 counts of disorderly conduct, 1 count of criminal damage, and then including the domestic violence allegation towards her mother. Is that accurate?
I'll find there's a factual basis to find you've entered the agreement knowingly, voluntarily, and intelligently. It's not the result of force, threats, or promises other than those contained in the plea. I will accept the plea and proceed according to the terms of the plea agreement. Deferring to your judgment, place you in 12 months on supervised probation in order to violate no law. Participate in the substance use evaluation, any counseling. Pay a $25 court diversion fee. What's your financial situation?
I just lost my job.
You just lost your job?
Yes. Since I put my car into the shop, I was just going to have some.
Where were you working?
I worked at a senior facility, like an independent house, but I cooked and cleaned and helped take care of them.
What are your prospects of getting another job?
I'm still looking. I was a blackjack dealer in Vegas, and I've been kind of around with some. I came to Arizona back because I was starting to have some problems with my medical issues and I went to the hospital for a while. So I do have other things that just I have to go. I might take some classes and start trying to get another job. And maybe find if it's like retail or something, I'm not even sure.
She's affiliated with the Gospel Rescue Mission. She's been there before. She's stayed there before. And so she's going to seek their help as well, right, and volunteer with them.
Okay.
You could do all the volunteer work there too.
That's a diversion fee eligible for community service teachers.
That'd be great if we could convert that, the $25 to community service. Would you be willing to do more community service? Because I know you don't have the money right now. You cook for them?
I cook for them, yeah, but the chefs can help me out. And then JJ and
Mike and other guys. Nancy, you left it. You need restitution on.
No, it's
oh, there it is.
And then she could do 2.5 for the other she wants, if you wanted to.
Think you can get that done by December 31st?
Yeah.
Well, I'm struggling a little bit with this, the substance use evaluation. I mean, realistically, Ms. Calderon, what do you think they're going to conclude?
The substance abuse? With the substance?
About the substance abuse.
I'm
sorry, I can't hear you.
I'm not sure what they're going to. I've never been through this before.
The crime was committed while she was drinking. I think that there was some self-harm actually probably going on that night, according to the report. So it wasn't exactly that she was, you know, a habitual alcohol drinker, but I think she purposely drank quite a bit of alcohol that night to hurt herself. So I think that's going to be something that they
Ms. Calderon, you're going to have to sign an ROI with Marana Health Center to allow them to send us information.
That's a release of information.
I don't think we do.
I don't think so.
Is that
gave the one for ACH?
They won't use it. Once she goes in, they'll let her sign it and they'll send us a copy.
They've got their own forms. Do you think you can get the substance use evaluation done in 30 days?
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, I messed up your words.
There's like up to 2 weeks
from
the pregnant.
I'm sorry. Dismiss the other two disorderly conducts and the criminal damage. And you've already signed all the paperwork, but there are new conditions on it. Ms. Mandel, if you look over that, and then Ms. Calderon, if you'll at least initial by the language I've added.
Okay. So he's taking away the $25 fee in exchange for 2.5 hours of community service. Okay. So altogether, you're going to be doing 12.5. Everything else is the same. You do need to sign a release of information with Marana Health to allow the disclosure of substance evaluation to the court. Okay, and that's due in 30 days. That doesn't mean that you have to get your counseling done in 30 days. You just have to do the evaluation that they tell you how much to do. Okay, and so you're good with that?
Okay. Yes.
Do you need her to initial anything?
Just initial by the other language that's been added, please, because it wasn't there before.
Make sure you get copies of everything they give you and provide them to us, because sometimes they forget. And it's on you to make sure we get those.
Daniel? I mean, Dan? Give them out the paperwork. Is there anything else? On the Calderon case, Ms. Peterson?
No, Your Honor.
Ms. Calderon, you're excused. Good luck.
Thank you, Your Honor.
I hope things start looking up for you.
Thank you.
Nancy, I didn't get a rubber band on that.
Okay, not bad.
Do you need copies of anything else
now? No, I don't. Store your stuff that has
everything
that's important to you. And again, make sure whatever
you get, you can mail it over to us, fax it over to us, but make sure you stay on top of that because they have a lot of people to deal with and you can get lost in the crowd.
Thank you. All right. Thank you.
Moving on to State versus Ebbing, Ms. Peterson, what do you have to report about poor Mr. Ebbing?
Okay, I'm just going to give full disclosure to the court as I did to the prosecutor. Mr. Simon is fully aware of what's happened. I got a call from Mr. Ebbing, who had been committed to inpatient treatment because of alleged self-harm, and he was on a psychiatric hold. He was in it for a while. They only released him back to his family in Indiana because he needed to be released to family. He's going through a mental health crisis right now. I mean, he was never really doing well, per se, but what happened was he had a psychotic break and thought that people were trying to kill him, and then basically tried to kill himself, and so in talking to him, it was clear that he was suffering from a lot of delusions, even while in the facility. So I talked to Mr. Simon, and I don't know the requirements for mental health court here. I think you have to have a bunch of citations. He does not. He is just clearly mentally ill and homeless, other than staying with his family. You might recall him from an in-person.
I do. Hearing. It's an unfortunate incident where instead of the police attempting to provide assistance to someone who was in a bad position, decided that prosecution was the better avenue.
Yeah, that's exactly what we think happened. Anyways, I talked to Mr. Simon. He's been very gracious. He's trying to work with us however possible. I don't know if it's if there's an exception that can be made for Mr. Ebbing to get him into mental health court. I think I understand that.
We don't really have a mental health court per se. We were trying to run one up to a certain point, and then the numbers dropped off so badly that, well, actually, two things happened. One, it became also the day that we did reviews for all the substance use cases. And then we started the diversion court, which is aimed at serious narcotic offenses. If he had more than one charge, we might be able to get him into what is referred to as compass court. But that's the Combined Municipal Problem Solving Court that's run by Judge Shedder out of the I mean, if he's pleading to the DUI, we're still stuck with a couple of questions at that point. One, is he competent to take a plea?
No, and I can assure you he's not. I couldn't. So I could file a Rule 11.
Yeah, but it's not here. We can't even do the evaluation.
Right.
I mean, we're kind of in a catch-22, so not catch-22, but we're in a spot where we can't, between a rock and a hard place, I guess is what it is. Can't move forward, and doesn't seem to be much way to move back.
His mother is available by herself if you wanted to confirm these things with her.
Well, that would require that I not believe that you're telling me the truth.
Yeah. I am.
Well, I would suggest that you're not telling me the truth. And I mean, you're an officer of the court. I don't think you would come in here and risk your bar license to make up a story about Mr. Ebbing.
Well, that's what he has relayed to me, and he was calling me from the facility when he called me. He actually called me the day we were supposed to have a hearing and said, hey, I can't make it to court, and he had other reasons why he couldn't make it to court, which clearly did not make sense. And so we basically figured out where he was and called him and then talked to the staff there, which I believe was Palo Verde, if I recall correctly. It was some type of psychiatric...
You know what? I'm sorry to interrupt. I have a message from Garnet.
Yeah, I have the... She just texted me.
She said that he was able to appear telephonically today if you wanted to get Mr. on the line.
He's with his mom in Indiana. So they're both available.
Well, we could.
We sure could. We just need the number.
We can try calling Mr. Ebbing and seeing how that goes. But we still don't have a proposed resolution.
And I don't know quite what to propose, Your Honor.
To suggest to him. I mean, so it's kind of, the ball's kind of in your court, Mr. Simon. I don't know. I don't know what Ms. Peterson has suggested to you or what you're willing to consider.
What I used to do in city court with mental health court was they basically did 6 months to a year of mental health treatment. Same with veterans court. And it was basically like a diversion type of deal where as long as they followed their mental health treatment plan, they eventually got everything dismissed, but that's when they have the review hearings and everybody comes in, you know, every so often, and the mental health provider is there to confirm. So it's...
Judge Shedder's court, and that's...
Yeah.
That's because you've got a prosecutor who's willing to offer diversion on cases, but I don't know that they included DUIs in the batch.
I don't remember that. It's been a long time since I worked.
No, Judge Shedder still has the mental health court. I mean, it's very well run, but she's got a huge population of mentally ill people.
Huge.
And we just don't have enough to get going, and the prosecutors have not seemed all that interested in doing a diversion court on that basis. So I guess what we can do is call Mr. Ebbing and see what he says. Do you have a phone number, Ms. Peterson?
I do. I have a couple. We'll try this one first.
So Mr. Simon, has Ms. Peterson talked to you about the possibility of just doing a diversion on this with him in treatment back east?
I would not have the authority to do a diversion on a DUI, so I'd be the wrong person to talk to. It's my belief we don't do that. What we talked about is, again, we were not clear on what mental health court was, so... I was open to that. I'm fine with that, but to go as far as to say diversion, probably not.
Mr. Simon, there's little or no point on, and what your version of mental health court is, what you thought it was, is we just call him in for a review hearing every month. This doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I mean, if he's not competent to put all this together, it's just creating another roadblock in this man's life that he's never able to deal with. And the truth was, he wasn't driving, as I understand the story. He was trying to stay warm in his vehicle in December.
Yeah, we looked at that closely. Originally,
he didn't have a home. Hold for a moment. Ms. Peterson was trying to say something. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Well, so it's a little inaccurate to say that he was going to drive. He did have keys in his hand, and I believe he put them in the ignition, and at one point he was rolling up the window when the officer said to stop. I mean, I think this man's problem is he didn't listen to law enforcement, and he didn't do it exactly. They told him what to do, and one of that problems could be mental health, and the other one could be was he was heavily, you know, potentially intoxicated or alleged that way. I mean... So he didn't try to drive off, even according to the reading of the police reports that I see. I think the argument is he was in actual physical control of the vehicle, is what the state is probably going to argue, and he could have driven off. I mean, he didn't, but
Well, this comes down to was the case Valenzuela?
Using the vehicle as a dweller. And again, we looked at that. His statements were, I'm okay. I'm just trying to summarize things as and try to be delicate as possible. Ultimately, it boiled down to, I'm going to drive away, I'm okay. And then we put the keys in the ignition, and we said, well, that's too far. You can't risk that. That's the gist of it. There's a lot more to it, but that's kind of, at least our position anyway, is wrong.
That's the number.
Did I give you the number? I gave it to you, right? Or did I?
The 260-616-1016.
That's the home phone number. There's a cell. His
that's
mother's cell.
The one Garnet just gave me.
Oh.
Well, we seem to be in an impasse, and I'm not quite sure what to do about it.
Forwarded to an automated voice messaging system.
Uh-oh.
2-6-0-3-4-1-1-3-9.
Not what I dialed, guys.
Is not available.
Cellphone.
At the tone, please record your message.
No, I mean, that wasn't the number I gave. That's not what I dialed. I dialed 260-616-1016.
Oh, well then, the other one I have is the cell phone.
Which is, what's that?
That's the one that... 1396.
Was he
not in the military?
I could have sworn
he said
no.
I remember that
cold
weird.
I don't
your know. Call has been forwarded to an automated voice. 260-3-4-1-1-3-9-6 is not available. At the tone, please record your message. When you finish recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Mr. Ebbing, this is George Dunscombe, the judge in Ore Valley. We're holding a hearing on your case this afternoon and hope that we might be able to get you on the line to participate. If you get this message in the next few minutes, please call the court back at 520-229-4780, press 0, and tell the clerk who answers that you need to have your call transferred to the courtroom. Thank you.
Because it comes up as restricted, could we have Ms. Peterson?
Oh, yeah, I could. Do you want me to do that?
Just ask them to call the court.
You can try that, yeah.
Ms. Pickles is back at her house, and I told her...
Your call has been...
Okay. Damn, did her hand get lost?
She ended up going back to her house. Her aunt was doing something for up there, and she called me and said, I'm 37 minutes out, like 5 minutes ago, and I said, just stay there.
Yeah, we'll be able to get on the phone. Do we have a written plea offer?
Yes, I brought it over.
Okay. Does she have an email address?
I will get that from her.
Okay.
I tried calling. They both went to voicemail.
Same result?
Yeah.
So it's not like he's not answering a restricted number.
He did call my office a couple of times today, so we're in touch with him. That's not the issue.
Mr. Simon, are you suggesting that Ms. Peterson could appeal to Mr. Seidel's?
Yeah, that's always an option. I have no problem with that. But we may want to just do the Rule 11 route. I'm not sure. Maybe he's restorable, maybe not. No clue on that.
Mr. Simon, he's in Indiana.
Oh, he's in Indiana. I'm sorry, I didn't hear that part. Again, Ms. Peterson was...
Alright, so the situation is that...
I thought he was here.
No, they filed a Title 36 petition as danger to self. He was still psychotic when he was in treatment. The treatment agency released him but would only release him if his family came back here and took him back to Indiana with them. So that's where he is now, and that's where we were trying to call them, was we were trying to call Indiana.
Gotcha. Okay, I'm with you now. So, yeah, I missed that part. I apologize.
It's a very difficult situation. Is there...
You can always talk to Mr. Stiles. I mean, I'm just being perfectly honest. I don't have the authority to say we're going to do a diversion on a DUI. That's way outside the limits of what I can do.
All right. I mean, Ms. Peterson, I guess you could... Mr. Stiles is gone all week. I think he's teaching or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I can definitely do that. I'm just at a loss.
Well, I guess what it might come down to is, what are the insurances that Mr. Ebbing will not be returning to the state of Arizona with the in the wherewithal to drive? I think if you were to address maybe both of those issues with Mr. Siles, it might help. I'm not going to say it will.
Okay.
Suggesting that it might. The court order doesn't extend to Indiana. So, I guess my proposal is that we continue this for a review hearing in 30 days and see what you can accomplish in the meantime, and see what happens with Mr. Ebbing in the meantime.
I can do that. I'm happy to. I mean, he's been very cooperative with me and keeping in touch with me, even if his state of reality is completely altered.
He was, on his first court appearances, he was very polite, very cooperative. But then there was one where he was offered a plea agreement, and first he was going to take it, and then things began to kind of fall apart.
Right.
Which I think is when we appointed you.
I was there for that, actually. I was already appointed. But then he started explaining his circumstance and said he didn't really want to take the plea, so then he backed out of it. And then he went into a kind of a spiel on, you guys were so nice in trying to give him a job. And you asked if he was a veteran, and he said no, but he really wanted to be a sniper. Do you remember that?
Yeah, that's a little worrisome. I mean, who goes into the military with the idea that they specifically want to kill people from a long distance?
Yeah. Anyway, I will do my best. He's a very nice individual, and his family is very nice as well. He's just not all there, for sure. I mean, even when he was in the psychiatric facility, he had an altered state of reality and believed that that facility was something else. So I haven't been able to talk to him since then. I guess his mother called our office this morning. But he was very concerned about missing his court date. He did have the wherewithal to know about his court date. So.
But he's receiving treatment in Indiana?
That is what was relayed to me this morning by my staff, was that he was released to his family in Indiana. And I think that was a condition of his release, to be with his family. And so he'll have to keep getting treatment with them. I don't know the status of that, though.
Well, we, nobody is allowed to get Title 36 records, but it might help your cause if you were to be able to get from him copies of the judge's orders or the conditions of release from the treatment.
I can try. I just found that out this morning. I'm assuming that a judge wouldn't release him without further treatment.
Oh, don't make such assumptions.
Oh, really? I mean, he wasn't in good shape when I talked to him, so...
Miss Nancy, we need a new speech LV.
All right. You put the same date for Kelsey Slater, Cameron.
Yeah, that's fine.
What date was that?
Well, we haven't. I haven't set one yet.
Oh, okay. Well, then.
What does October 27th look like for you?
October. Oh, I'm looking at September. All right, hold on. Totally clear.
Let's do October 27th at 1:30. It's kind of like DUI, if you can move on there too.
That's Pickle's email address if you want to send it.
All right.
At what time? Let me say.
1:30.
Okay.
Rich Dan, if you'll give this to Ms. Peterson.
Let me get the one
there. Now, I guess, Mr. Simon, we're going... Miss Pickles didn't make it, but she's at home. So we're going to attempt to get her on the phone. Hopefully we'll be able to scan and email her the plea agreement, and at least we can go over the plea agreement today.
Okay.
I don't know... Under the COVID rules, we could treat it as a long-distance change of plea, but we have little or no way of verifying signatures on the plea and those kinds of things.
Are you going to reset the case, Judge? Or are you just going to try to do it like today?
I think she was ready to take the plea, Your Honor.
Well, she's ready to take the plea, but she's either got to be in person... I suppose we could try and set it up on Zoom.
Yeah, then that'll be the equivalent of being in person, I guess, according to the rules.
Yeah, according to our modified functioning system. Thank you, Ms. Peterson.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Judge.
So...
I'll be here, Judge. Just give me a call. I already went to lunch. I will be leaving at 4, though. I've got to bring one of my kids to soccer practice.
All right. Very good. Well, we'll let you know what we're going to do with it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
You should go off the record, and then I guess we should give him...
If you don't answer.
Hello?
Is this Miss Pickles?
Yes, sir.
This George Towns Kamara by magistrate. If you'll hold, please, we've got to try and get the prosecutor on the call, okay? Please hold.
All right.
468-9213. This is Troy.
Mr. Simon, George Dunscombe, we've got Miss Pickles on the line. We have a written plea that you've signed.
Yes,
it seems straightforward. You have the right to waive your presence if you want to, or you can just listen in and drive.
I'm here. The factual basis will be on the minute that you order on the day that she failed to appear.
Right. I mean, I can just look through the file and figure out what days you didn't come into court.
Yeah, so, I mean, I have no problem waiving my appearance, but that would be the factual basis, Your Honor.
All right, so you can do whatever you choose to do. Ms. Pickles, I have a plea agreement to an amended charge of failing to appear. You'll be on 12 months unsupervised probation or to violate no laws. Don't return to any time fitness at 11911 North Oracle Road and have no contact with John Piccoli. Sentenced to 90 days in jail, 88 suspended, credit for 2 days time served, $500 in fines and surcharges all suspended, but there's a $25 court security fee. Is that your understanding of the plea?
Yes, sir.
I have a form here that's entitled Notice of Right to Counsel and Waiver. Did you read that form before you signed it?
Yes, sir.
Did you understand it?
Yes, sir.
So you understand you have the right to have an attorney represent you even with this afternoon's proceeding. The benefits an attorney may have provided for you in this case, and that you're waiving or giving up your right to have an attorney by proceeding without one at this time.
Yes, sir.
There's another form that you seem to have signed that says waiver of immigration admonition. Did you read that before you signed it?
Yes, sir.
Do you understand it's unlawful in the state of Arizona to fail to appear when you've received a citation which requires your presence in court from a police officer or have been ordered by the court to appear?
Yes, sir.
And it's punishable as a class 2 misdemeanor with a maximum penalty being the worst sentencing. Could get her 4 months in jail, 2 years on probation, $1,433 in fines and surcharges, and there is no minimum mandatory penalty. Do you understand that?
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, I just misread that. I read what's on the form, but the maximum penalty, the maximum fines would be $1,354. I apologize. They changed the surcharges. Are you on parole or probation of any other court?
No, sir, not.
Do you understand you're not compelled to accept this plea agreement, that you have every right to set your case for a trial on the underlying charge of a criminal trespass, or even a mischarge for that matter? It would be a trial to a judge. At that trial, you'd have had a number of other rights. You would have had the right to have an attorney represent you. It doesn't necessarily mean court-appointed counsel means the right to be represented by an attorney. And the determination to appoint counsel is based on your financial situation and the possible maximum penalties you'd be facing. The trial, you'd have the right to be presumed innocent and to remain silent in the state. That means the prosecutor would have had to prove you were guilty beyond a reasonable doubt with evidence he alone produced. He could not have called you to testify against yourself, and you could not have been compelled to present any evidence proving you were guilty. At your trial, you've had the right to confront and cross-examine the state's witnesses. That means ask them questions, see if they're telling the truth. And you would have had the right to present your own evidence and your own witnesses, and if your witnesses could not or would not appear voluntarily, the right to compel them to attend the trial using subpoenas issued by the court at no cost to yourself. Do you understand those trial rights?
Yes, sir.
Do you understand you're waiving or giving up those rights to a trial by proceeding with this plea at this time?
Yes, sir.
You also understand you're giving up your rights to any direct appeal, and your only recourse beyond today's proceedings is a petition for post-conviction relief under Rule 32 of the Rules of Criminal Procedure.
I know you don't understand Rule 32. It's a rule that allows people who enter into plea agreements to challenge their convictions based on constitutional infirmities, usually, of the court proceedings or on later discovered evidence, but you only have 90 days after the sentencing to file that petition. Did anyone promise you anything not contained in the written plea to get you to change your plea?
No.
Did they force you or threaten you in any way to get you to change your plea?
No, no.
Are you doing this voluntarily and of your own free will?
Yes. Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, so our records show that back on October the 3rd of last year that you were arrested, apparently, and there's a mistake on the citation, I guess. Where were you arrested?
Honestly, I'm honestly not sure, Your Honor. I know that I was pulled over coming out of a gas station. I had a seizure, and they took me to the hospital and put me on suicide watch. And the last thing I remember is being naked in a hospital gown and in the back of a van. How I got there, I have no idea.
But the court records indicate you got booked into the Pima County Jail that day.
Yes, I don't remember any of that whole day.
Well, that must have been a very unpleasant day for you.
It was horrible.
The bottom line is that they gave you some paperwork at the jail that said you had to be here on October the 9th at 9 o'clock, and you didn't come.
I know that when I left the jail, the only paperwork that I had was what possessions I had on me, like my clothes and if I had anything in my pocket, the piece that they filled out, saying like whatever you have, your belongings. But then again, I might have had the paperwork too. I don't really remember very much of that day at all. It was a horrible day.
Well, okay, but at some point you actually called us and asked to put it back on the calendar.
Yeah, because I got a letter in the mail.
Yeah, so you sent us a letter and said put it on the calendar, and we did, and you didn't come in. So we went ahead and issued the warrant, but you're admitting that you didn't come to court on October 9th, correct?
Yes, I didn't.
All right. I'll find there's a factual basis. I'll find that you've entered into this agreement knowingly, voluntarily, and intelligently. It's not the result of force, threats, or promises other than those contained in the plea. I'll accept the plea and proceed according to the terms of the plea agreement. I'm going to find you guilty of the trespassing offense. I'm sorry, of the failure to appear. I apologize. Failure to appear. I'm going to place you on 12 months unsupervised probation or you violate no local, state, or federal law. Sentence you to 90 days in jail. Suspend 88 of those days. Give you credit for 2 days' time served. Now there's $25 court security fee and $130 in warrant fees. I thought there was only one warrant. So that's your financial situation at the moment.
I'm currently on Social Security, and my fiance works. I can have that paid by the first week of next month.
Well, it's a total of $155. That's quite a bit.
My fiance has a pretty good job.
Okay, what if I gave you until November 1st to get it paid? All right, don't forget it, okay?
I won't.
Well, we'll make it November 2nd since November 1st is a Sunday.
And how would I pay that? Just bring it.
Well, you've got one of four options. You could actually drive, put it back up here and make the payment, which I think would, in my opinion, be the least logical alternative. You can put it in an envelope with a check or a money order that you get from the grocery store and pay it that way. Or the other alternative is that you can go online and pay it, or there's actually a telephone number that you can call if you have a credit or debit card and make the payment that way. But there is a small fee that goes along with using the website or the phone, okay?
Okay.
And I will, there's going to be a little green sticker on your copy of the sentencing minute entry.
Okay.
And that green sticker has a website address and the phone number that you can call to resolve, to make the payment, okay?
Okay.
But don't forget it.
We get back in.
All right, well, you probably got to get it back and get those motor mounts fixed as soon as you can, okay?
I do appreciate this, Your Honor. I hope you have a good day.
You too. Just wait in the lobby. Dan is going to bring you out the copy of the paperwork. Oh, now, also, I just advise this.
Did you give her this?
Yes, the blank. Okay. At the end of the 12 months, you have the right to file an application to set aside the judgment. To do so, you have to file a written form. You can either ask my clerks for the blank form. You fill it out, file it. If it's granted, it shows it as a dismissal on the record for things like employment purposes and things like that. Or you can go to the court website, download it, fill it out, file it, and the same thing applies in terms of whether it's granted or not, okay?
Yes, Dan.
All right. If you have no more questions, just wait there. Dan's going to bring you out the paperwork. And you can head on your journey back downtown, all right?
All right. Thank you so much. You have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We should go off the record.
Mm-hmm.